I am now recording. Welcome to Uncooked Conversations number... What?
12.
12.
Your voice has only gotten more attractive.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Okay. So, we'll do the intro. I guess I should turn my volume off.
Good idea.
So we will do the intro at the end. So, editor, whoever you are, you mystery person, you.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks Welcome. For editing. Welcome to Uncooked Conversations. we will put the intro at the very end of this recording because we usually don't entirely know what we're talking about until it's over.
Well, it's just a way so we can concisely wrap up everything mm-hmm. we're going to talk about and then put it as a teaser at the beginning. This episode, we're going to talk about your mom. And then we do it. Not your mom, but...
You know, you grew up in the 90s when...
Your mama sits around the house.
You make your mama jokes all the time.
Hey...
Okay, so then we have...
She sat on a quarter, and boogers popped out to George Washington's nose. And then Allie itched her nose.
Okay, so we have... We have our intro with episodes about, then we're going to have the actual intro. And then we'll actually say, welcome to this episode of Uncooked Conversations. Welcome to season two of Uncooked Conversations. And then we give our general life updates. And things, and then we, what I do want to do is talk about the vision for the future of this episode, for this season, once again, and...
Let's tell you about season two, a year later.
1 year later.
We could just call it season three, and season two is the missing year. People are going to be like, what happened to all the episodes from season two? Did they get taken out? Were they too controversial? Nope,
they just didn't make them. They got censored.
They got censored.
Season two, censored year. We got canceled.
We can just have one episode in season two, and that's sorry, guys. Season two got canceled.
On to season three.
Oh man. Okay.
yeah, and then we do our funny little commercial thing, and then the Patreon thing. And then we go into the actual episode content. So, yeah, we can just go from there. So, what are we actually going to talk about today, though? For reals.
I thought we were going to talk about, the world is burning. What do you do?
Do we actually want to go into that today? Do you feel inspired to talk about that?
I mean, yeah, we were just talking about it. Might as well.
Mm-hmm. Or do we want to... I feel like we could... It would almost be good to, get like a high view story of our life over the past year. I don't know. And then we can say the directions that we want to go from here.
Okay.
What do you think? Because I almost feel like people, we're kind of reintroducing people to us, who haven't heard from us for a while. And
Paul and Ellie, 2022.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's the 2022 edition of Paul and Ellie.
Sure.
I don't know. Let's just go for it.
The wandering years.
The wandering years. But maybe don't do that while we're recording.
No, you don't like that?
That's just going to add time to our recording.
Sweet. No, let's do it. I'm waiting on you. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a loud chair.
Get all your chair movements out now.
Okay. Well, here we go. Oh, no, we're not.
You're kind of far away from your microphone.
You always told me like this.
I don't know. I sound so sultry because I'm so close.
All right. Well... Welcome to season two of Uncooked Conversations.
Cheering noises. Woo!
So in our last episode of Uncooked Conversations, which was episode 11.
About 1 year ago.
Yep. We joked that season two, we would...
release episodes quarterly.
Well, no. So in our last episode, we were like casting great vision for season two and like all the cool things we were going to do. And, but then we had kind of this funny joke of like, instead of doing monthly, we're going to do quarterly, because we were like joking at how inconsistent we were. But I guess what we really meant is that we were going to be doing yearly episodes.
So welcome to this year's episode.
We'll see you next year.
And we're not even going to make it extra long or anything. It's just
normal.
You get 30 minutes of us a year. I hope that's enough for you.
I hope that's enough. No, but in all seriousness, we are very happy to be back and recording. I can't even tell you how many times that we are talking about recording episodes and wanting to record episodes and making notes about episodes to record. But
you said
I think
episodes a lot.
I said episodes a lot. Like, I'll give you a dollar for every episode I said.
Ooh, getting rich.
But I think when you guys hear about, we're going to share today some of what we've been going through over the past year and really couple years.
Is this going to be like setting vision for like our series? Is that your plan? The series, different series we're going to be doing?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know how we can talk about what's happened without talking about some of the ideas for our series.
Yeah, I think that's what we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can cut that out, editor.
Yeah. Where was I now? So I made the joke about that.
You're going to say recap. Like we're going to recap our time.
No. This is why you shouldn't interrupt me.
You also said a lot. Like you probably could have concise all of that. What? That face. And we're back. We lost our phone.
Mm-hmm.
Ran out of power.
Allie has a habit of never
charging
my phone. Ever.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty funny.
I don't know what my problem is. Like, I am so responsible in some areas of my life. Like, very, overly very. Responsible. But there's some, like, really basic life things like charging your phone at night and remembering to bring a towel when you're going to take a shower that like I can't seem to wrap my head around.
It's pretty funny.
Oh my goodness. All right. So we're back at it. We're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you on Instagram?
I am.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Instagram.
The gram.
All right, so where were we? We were joking about how in our last episode, I guess we were joking about how in this episode, this is just going to be our yearly one.
Yeah.
We don't actually mean that, though. We actually have mapped out, like, at least 10 episodes to record, and we have a plan.
It's more than we had. Well, we kind of had a plan last time, too.
But I feel like this time we're, like, actually, like, more organized and, like, we actually know what episodes we want to do ahead of time, and we're like, okay, and we can record two at a time.
And I set up a recording booth.
I know. We have, like, a proper recording booth.
Yeah.
In our closet.
Actually, a lot of recording booths are in people's closets.
That's true.
It's because the nice small space, especially if you insulate it with some, like, insulation, it's nice and quiet.
Yeah. So, for those of you who perhaps, let's see. So, probably some of you have listened to our episodes before, and some of you have never heard of us before.
It's like a reintroduction.
So, yeah, we want to give you a bit of a reintroduction of us, as well as reintroducing our vision for season two and the podcast moving forward, because this is something that we still very much care about and want to do. So for those of you who don't know us, my name is Allie.
And my name is Paul.
And welcome to
Uncooked Conversations,
where we are
on the journey with you.
Ready, go.
On the journey with you.
That's like our cute little thing. Okay, so
that's us saying we don't have any answers. So if you just want to hear a bunch of people fumbling around in the dark, this is the perfect podcast for you.
This is perfect for you. This is our legal disclaimer of don't take our advice because we're on the journey with you.
Yeah, yeah. But if you fall in the ditch, we'll pull you out.
Yeah. we'll share what we've learned from falling into the ditch many times.
Yeah, and yeah.
Crawling our way out. Okay, so I think where I would like to start is actually just quickly recapping the vision for the future of this season.
Oh, I thought we were introducing ourselves.
Well, we did.
Oh. I mean, we just said our names.
Yeah. Well, what else should we tell them?
Oh, I thought, like, a bit about us.
Oh, a bit about us. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Without being too personal, because I like my privacy.
And here's a bit about us.
Go.
Oh, I guess I'm going first. My name is Paul. I'm married to Allie. We have two kids.
Five and almost three.
At the point of this podcast.
Both boys.
And I am an entertainment-focused person. I work in the entertainment industry off and on.
That sounds a little better. You gotta work on your pitch.
Yeah. Well, we can get into that later. But anyway, I have a background in entertainment, video production, and visual effects. I do visual effects for films and television, and I also write and direct. And then I have a podcast company that makes podcasts besides this one, where we play games and tell stories. And yeah, and it's pretty cool. So if you like sci-fi, or I guess they're both sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, go check out therpgempire.com.
There you go. There's your little plug. Yeah, and I'm going to pretty much pause every time you're doing chair movements.
Okay.
Because it definitely picks up. Yeah, and like I said, I'm Allie, and let's see.
You have a background in? Well, I can give you interview questions.
That's okay. I got this. Okay. So I am an investor, entrepreneur, and on the path and goal of becoming more philanthropic in my life. So in particular, I own and run a marketing business called Allie & Co. Marketing, and I predominantly focus on helping businesses build online courses as well as develop video marketing assets for their business. But I also do a little bit of investing in real estate and some other investing endeavors, with a big passion for financial growth and well-being, and well, I guess let me restate that, with a big passion for financial independence and wealth building, and also a big passion for mental and emotional well-being in our life. So I have,
yeah, and a very creative background.
Very
and
creative.
You also produced a feature film with me.
And I produced a feature film. What haven't I done? Maybe that list would be better. I'm not an engineer.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
So that's a little about blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bella?
Bella.
So that's a little bit about us, and what did you want to talk about today?
Let's see.
Or what's next?
What's next on the agenda?
Oh, the vision. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me redo that. So I'll say that's a little about us. Now let's talk about the vision for
the season. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about, like, kind of, like, the high level of what we've gone through the past year?
And you want to do that now?
I think so. And then, like, our vision.
Because we could do the vision, and then we could go, because that could be the subject of the episode, right? It's like, what the heck happened to the Parnells?
What the heck? What the heck happened to Paul and Allie? That can be the title of this episode.
Sure.
So
why don't we do, here's, like, the vision, and then we'll get into the episode, and the episode is, what the heck happened to Paul and Allie?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can kind of
and the world
that. And the world,
there we go. That's the name of our episode. What the heck happened to Paul, Allie, and the world?
Yeah. Okay, so that's a little about us, and why don't you go ahead and kick us off with what's kind of the vision for this the second version, 2.0 version of the second season.
The 2.0 version of the second season?
Yeah.
Wow, this is like double, double.
Double, double.
Did you mean of Uncut Conversations?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what?
Just redo that.
Why? It was good.
Just redo it.
Okay.
It was good, but just, yeah.
So that's a little about Why am I having a problem?
So sorry, editor. Just we're not in the practice here, so
this is our first episode in a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I just heard somebody open the door. Probably Asher.
It could just be that the door's downstairs. No, this door just moves a little.
We have a ghost.
Well, because I fixed it so that it'll actually lock, but in doing so, there's now a tiny gap, so it kind of can wiggle back and forth in the seat.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a little about us. What are you doing? I wish we were filming this. Allie just started doing an interpretive dance. Okay. So that's a little about us. And why don't we talk about what's going on with season two, sort of the 2.0 version
of Uncut Conversations?
Why do you need me to say that? Like, obviously, we're talking about Uncut Conversations.
Okay.
We're going to talk season two of
Fringe. Don't get mad at me. Stop getting mad at me. It looks like we keep peeking.
Your mom's peeking. Can you tell her to get out of
God,
here?
Oh, my God. Stop with your mom jokes.
That wasn't. That was just a real life truth.
All right.
Okay, okay.
Wow.
I'm hearing it in my head, so that means that it's probably recorded forever. Okay. So that's a little bit about us. And Allie, why don't you tell us a bit of the vision? Is that what you're trying to pantomime to me? Like, why do you keep doing this? You're very distracting. Just tell me exactly what you want to say.
No, you're doing great. I'm just channeling the vision.
She's channeling the vision. Okay.
Not so, really. I
don't
do that.
Okay. So that's a little bit about us. Allie, why don't you tell everyone the vision of Uncut Conversations Season 2, sort of 2.0.
Okay. You got it.
Thanks.
I'm just laughing because that literally took us like probably 8 takes to get that.
Yeah, welcome to the 8th take.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so anyway, yes, Season 2 of Uncut Conversations. So, we... Basically, we have the same goals and vision as we shared last year in our last episode, but I did just want to recap for those of you who don't remember that episode or never got a chance to listen to it. But our ideas moving forward is that we're going to continue to do the episodes with Paul and I, the way that you love them, hopefully, of us going back and forth. But we also want to bring in some additional guests to get a variety of perspectives and... just be able to include more content, but also it's kind of hard to get both of us in the same room to record without interruptions from the kids. And so just to help us stay on schedule, we feel like having some guests will help us. And then we may also do some solo episodes here and there. So yeah, basically our goal is to keep this podcast floating and moving forward, and that we keep it entertaining and interesting and, I don't know, what else? Inspiring for you guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think definitely our goal is to be a comforting voice in a sea of turmoil.
Yes. Yes. An ever-growing sea of turmoil. Cool. So I'm really distracted because of all the noise downstairs.
Okay.
I kind of hear them.
All the noise downstairs.
I wonder if we should tell them to go outside.
Yeah, what?
Do you want to pause it or no?
Oh, I guess.
Are they good? Is it recording?
It is recording. I still hear them, but...
Well, you may end up hearing our kids in the very distant background, so hopefully that's not too distracting.
That's what happens when you have two boys. This is real life, people.
Real life, and that's what we're all about. Speaking of real life, why don't we dive right into sharing with them
the heck happened to Paul and Allie in the world.
The gist of our life over the past year or so. Our real life.
Yeah. So let's set the stage. It's 2021.
Mm-hmm. We've just gone through one whole year of the COVID-19 pandemic.
And everyone's living in their own closet, eating beans out of cans and putting paper bags over their face to protect from viruses.
And 2021 comes around and we're hopeful that things are going to be changing and getting better. But instead, well, I don't know. Everyone has a different story, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone has a different story of how 2021 went down for them.
Yeah. So 2020 was like a little destabilizing for us. Obviously, like within the world, there was a lot of hardships and, you know, some people we knew, it was difficult. But 2021, like, kind of was getting back to normal. Asher was in the forest school. We were starting to kind of pick up on, like, doing sort of a more normal life.
Yeah.
You were running your Healing Mothers Collective.
No, I stopped that at the beginning of, like, January 2021.
Okay, so that's when you stopped that.
Yeah, so basically, I feel like 2021, when I look back, was a year of, like, really massive changes for us. Mm. And we kind of had that, you know, back in 2019 as well. So I feel like we've just been, like, 2019, 2020, 2021. Like, we've had really big shifts in our life. And it has been really challenging for us, to say the least. But I feel like in 2022, like, we have found a little grounding.
Yeah, well, it's like in 2019, you know, we lost your dad.
Mm-hmm.
2020, we lost our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
2021, we lost my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you okay with talking, like, saying that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll let you take the lead on how much you share. yeah, so, you know, like Paul said, he lost his mom, I mean, only a handful of months ago at the end of 2021.
This took a lot of focus, on dealing with all of that medical side of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, so on dealing with your mom and her medical challenges and the financial aspect of that. And then, you know, we moved.
Yeah, we knew we needed to move. We couldn't live we were in an apartment at the time.
Really small, and
two kids who are just running crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We tried so hard 2019 and 2020 to get, like, a good stable nanny, and we just couldn't get, like, find somebody.
Yeah. There was a huge nanny shortage, I'm sure, like, in our area.
Yeah.
It was so hard. All the parents I would talk to, they just couldn't find good, reliable childcare and nannies and all of that. So, yeah. I mean, we were juggling, you know, trying to earn money. We were juggling Paul's mom's health. We were juggling, you know, two very, like, energetic children. We were juggling, I mean, Asher, and walking through the beginning stages of recognizing his, what you might call, like, neurodiversity, and just getting the, because I think it was the beginning of 2021 that we were even introduced to the idea that maybe Asher, because of the forest school he was going to, had suggested that we get some observations done to...
Because he was having some...
social issues.
Yeah, but what do you call it? It's executive functioning delays.
Yeah.
And so they just had him, like, somebody kind of come and watch him. And then they were like, here, this is what we would recommend. And then we started doing OT.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really enlightening, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was great. And so... You know, after he graduated from his preschool in May, then we had him home with us all the time. We were doing OT. We did some family therapy with him. So there's a lot of work on and with Asher. Last year, there was the layer of your mom and her medical challenges and just that impending loss.
A lot of attention, a lot of energy.
And then we knew we were going to move because we were busting at the seams of our two-bedroom apartment. And So we were very aggressive.
And the housing market was crazy. Oh my gosh, it was nuts. Literally, we would look at a house and be like thinking about like, do we want to rent this house or buy this house or whatever? And then we would like call them or look in and it's been rented or bought.
Yeah. And like the place that we're in now, like I'm so thankful, but there were probably nearly 60 applications on this house.
Yeah, and Allie was like, because we had just lost the house that we wanted, and Allie was really sad about it, and I'm like, no, let's just...
Like, sad as in, like, I literally cried.
Yeah.
And, like, wrote to them, like, please reconsider, and I was, like, in love with the house, like, that much, so...
Yeah, and then we saw this one online, we couldn't even go inside, and we're like, you know what, just... Yeah,
just apply.
We'll like, take it.
Yeah. So we pretty much like applied and we're already like, we're going to do this one. And then we just kind of like saw it in person just to like seal the deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were.
And the space is great. I'm super happy.
It's further away from where I wanted to be living. And so that's been an adjustment. Like every time we go back to the city we were living in, I'm like, oh, I miss it so much.
Yeah.
But
I feel that too.
Yeah. But I do like it here. I do like it here. But I mean,
suits our needs.
It does. The house does, definitely, and the area is great, too.
And a fenced-in yard. That's all we really need. We just had to have, like, a 6-foot fence. And even then, our boys still climbed to the top, and we're like, get down. Get off that. We need electric fence.
Yeah. And so then we had moving this year, which I feel like we're still, like, in particular, our garage, like, still organizing.
I honestly don't even remember moving. I feel like we've just been here forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember it.
I was in the fog, though. Like, there was a lot that was happening right around that time.
I know.
Like, my mom had a particularly bad issue at that point. She'd been in the hospital since February, and at May, which is around when we moved, like, something had happened, so we had, like, driven down, and we were with her for, I think, a week.
Yeah.
Like, several days.
Yeah. We're there every day.
And then... You know, we had to come right back and we had to move.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like a whirlwind.
It was so crazy. Well, and then I started my business this year too.
Yep.
Or not this year, last year, like in 2021.
Yeah, you got the opportunity with Rhea.
Yeah, to speak about marketing.
Yeah.
And then I just ran with that because it was, you know, such an honor, but I also realized I loved talking about marketing and helping people with marketing and realized I was really good at it. And so I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to dive in. And honestly, a big push for me was the health challenges that Paul's mom was going through and just his attention on all of that. Like, I just really felt like I had to step up in terms of providing for our family as he had done for several years already. And so that was also, I think, one of the...
Yeah, and also because I had trash brain.
Yeah. Trash brain? Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Literally just couldn't think or function well.
No.
And at the same time, I was having to make some of the hardest decisions of my whole life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I just kind of took over as super dad and let you focus on Allie and Co. And...
Yeah, and so that's what really, that's what pushed me into, like, I felt this thing rise up in me of like, you know what, I really need to step into this role more. And, you know, since we've had some conversations around adjusting that now, but I feel like for the duration of like at least 3/4 of 2021, I was really starting to embody more of like, okay, like I am a business owner. I am providing for the family. I am like taking on this breadwinner type position for us. And I think it was a good growing experience for me in a lot of ways to, I think what actually that allowed me to do is to believe in myself more.
Yeah.
Because I think all the years prior when I had done various endeavors, I was very, like I always had you to rely on financially. And then also I was... And still, my heart is, like, more focused on the kids. Like, I have more desire to be a, like, present, nurturing mom than I do to, like, be this, like, amazing businesswoman. Like, I want both, but for me, the priority always lands with my children. And I think that I had to believe in myself more now than ever before because more relied on me.
Yeah.
And I think that gave me a lot of confidence. And so I'm so happy with where I'm at now and the transformation that I've had when I look back. But yeah, I mean, that, I feel like that was actually a really, like, happy change throughout 2021, where we had a lot of challenges and suffering and hardship with, you know, the family and moving and, you know, parenting and, you know, even marriage stuff. We were going through a lot of, like, deeper, hard communication, things like that. And, yeah, and so that was a very positive thing, but it was still a big change because it was really different.
And still hard.
And still hard.
And, like, positive things can still be hard.
Yeah. So, anyway, in a nutshell, 2021 was...
Yeah. And I was looking for jobs, too, and, like...
Yeah.
Like, I got that interview with the Epic people, and they're like, you're way over qualified, and we won't pay you enough. And I'm like, well...
Well, and there's no potential for advancement for you, either.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if you get, like, a mild job with a hope and potential of advancement.
But yeah, yeah.
It's another thing when you get a job where it's just capped.
Yeah, and the recruiter's like, you know, this probably just isn't the position that you're going to flourish in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just been looking for different things and still trying to... Fine, I guess that can kind of cue us on to, like, what's going on now. Like, yeah, like, just everything we've been through, I think, you know, losing somebody, especially as important and connected to you as your parent, really causes a, like, a whole reevaluation.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you hit the brakes and, like, you're like, life, what the heck? Like, what, why? And so it's just been, it sent me into this, you know, a continuation of this journey of self-discovery of, like, what am I doing and why am I doing it and what's important to me and what am I leaving behind and why do any of this? And, you know, and I'm on the journey, you know, I'm on the journey with you, you know, like, I'm currently in the journey. I'm digging into the weeds. I'm, you know, like, trying to suss out both what I want, but then also, you know, we have the world, which we, you know, briefly talked about, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, you know, in Ottawa, there's, you know, this freedom, convoy happening, and they're just fighting for their freedoms and for people to not be able to tell them what that they have to do with their bodies and, like, you know, be able to work. And, like, that's pretty basic stuff. Like, it feels super basic. And it's like, why are we having to fight for this super basic freedom? And, you know, the same thing's happening in America, and now it's happening in Australia and all these things. And so it's like, you know, I'm so media kind of minded and focused, and I've spent so much of my life and years learning all these skills and talents to do stuff in the media. And I feel like, you know, if the world keeps going in this direction, those skills are going to not be, you know, very beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what about farming? What am I going to do if, like, if the world does burn, you know, like, what am I going to do with myself? Like, I'm not going to go and make a CG fire and then warm the family by it, you know, like, if we have power, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's, the world has kind of moved into a very uncertain time. And that uncertainty is, like, continues to add another level of difficulty in, like, figuring out what to do with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, you're building your business and it's great, but if the internet goes down, suddenly your business in that regard is gone. And it's like, well, what do we do then? And, you know, like, I have a lot of, like, technical skills for filmmaking, but if there's no more theaters and there's no more internet, there's no more films, really. Like,
and yeah, or if there's, like, more limitations and restrictions and censorship
right.
around.
If no one can get into the theaters and no one can, you know, whatever, and everything's censored, it's like, so it's really just like this, you know, a lot of questioning. I'm having a lot of questions of, like, what do I do with myself? Should I be learning a different vocation? Should I be, you know, studying how to create a fortress? Like, I don't know. Like, should I be learning more farming techniques? Which I've, you know, I'm like, I have two brown thumbs. So Allie's thumbs are just a little browner than mine, but not much.
It's not an insult. I've claimed that title. We're changing it, though.
Yeah, we're trying and we're learning.
One plant at a time.
One plant at a time. You've got one plant that's still alive.
I have two.
Oh, two?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't have any plants, so I don't have any room to talk. I'm keeping two boys alive, though, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing most of the work.
No.
It's true. I do most of the work.
No. Yeah.
So, what about you in this?
Yeah. I mean, I think your I mean, you and I, like, we have these conversations together, but I think we're also having them internally with ourselves and things that we're praying about and contemplating, like, and just very legitimate things. And I feel like for some people listening to what we're saying in this podcast, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, you crazy people. And I think, like, hopefully everyone listening is, like, awake enough to realize the state of the world to some degree and the troubled times that we're in and the troubled times ahead. But if not, you know, maybe just do a few more Google searches that are not mainstream media. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, if you do think we're a little weird for what we're talking about, like...
That's okay.
Like...
We still love you.
Yeah, we still love you, and it's not really, like, a who's right situation, like, we're right or you're right. It's just based on our research and things that we have observed over the past few years. These are some of the decisions and positions we're taking on things. And, you know, we have concerns about various things that may or may not be legitimate. But I actually heard someone say just the other day, that video I sent you, where even if, you know, the worst case scenario, let's say, is only 15% likely. But if that does happen, if the results would be catastrophic, it's still worth
preparing for. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like investing or where you're assessing the risk of
risk management.
Yeah, risk management.
Like, that's the way to manage risk. It's like, if the chances of it happening are 15% and you can live through it and it's not a big deal, then... you know, you don't really need to address it all that much. It doesn't have to have a lot of focus. But if the 15%, you know, probability of something happening and it's like going to be catastrophic to you or your family or your financial future or whatever it is, then you probably should be, you know, thinking about that and have a plan in place and be moving in, you know, that direction.
And I think that's where we're at is, like, I don't know what the percentage of these more catastrophic things happening.
Yeah. I think when martial law happens in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a wake-up call. Red flag on the world. Like, the Canadians are having martial law, you know, like.
For peaceful protests.
Right. For peaceful protests. Like, literally. You know, and we were talking about this earlier, like, Canada is, in our minds, one of the most peaceful countries, you know, in the world. And it's like, they're going through this. If they can go through this, then, you know, why not America or wherever you are?
And if America is not stepping in and saying anything against what's happening, it's like, okay, well, by not saying anything, then do you approve of this?
Right.
And so I don't know. And so it's something where, like, we are watching and we're paying attention and realizing that the safety and protections that we thought that we had are not there and may not be there in the future for us or for our kids. And so, like, obviously the hope and the desire is that things work out where, you know, freedom and all of that is restored and protected. And, you know, we live in a state that seems like they're making some good moves in that direction. But, you know, you just can't count on that forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's the realization that you may not be able to count on these external people and organizations actually protecting your rights and freedoms. And so that's something where you just may have to take things into your own hands a little more and just have some safeguards for yourself.
Yeah.
And so it feels, I feel like this got heavy really fast, but I guess it's the reality of where we're at, and how we're thinking about our life. And,
So what are some, like, specific, 'cause you're talking a lot of kind of, like, grandiose.
Yeah.
So what are some specifics? So, like, you know, if there's no water, what are you going to do? Or, like, what are you thinking about? What is important to you? Like, I remember there's a list in your office of, like, things that you're thinking about.
Honestly, like, I would just be vulnerable right now. I feel, and we'll probably still post this, but I am feeling nervous about going down this rabbit hole because this is not something that I've even talked all that much with like close friends of mine and family members. Mm-hmm. And so to be like, I guess, broadcasting and publicizing this, it feels a little scary.
Yeah.
To me, because it's like, yeah, I do struggle when I, like, I'm, even just the way that I'm, like, holding myself right now, it's like, my arms are kind of crossed in this, like, more protective position, because I'm feeling like, I almost, like, want to keep it a secret or something like that.
Yeah.
But not because of, you know, I don't think it's true. It's that nervousness.
You don't want to get judged.
Yeah, it's the nervousness about being judged for what I'm thinking about things.
Like, if you listen to this and you don't agree, that's fine. Yeah. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, being nervous of, like, oh, are they going to think that I'm, like, such a weirdo for thinking? So, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just being honest and real because it's Uncooked Conversations and that's what we do here.
Before you say this, could you just take off your tinfoil hat first? Mm-hmm. And...
yes.
Just kidding.
Okay. Yeah, so there was a video that I heard that I watched probably 2 years ago, and it talked about some of the core things that you need for self-sustainability, self-sufficiency. I may not remember all of them off the top of my head, but I'll do my best. So some of it...
which is sort of just being able to be sovereign and kind of ruling yourself.
Yeah. And so, you know, if things got really bad, you know, things that you would need is an energy source, clean water source, food source. You need community. Did I say community? Like community. You need a way for self-protection. You need barterability, like skills that you can kind of trade with other people. And you need wealth preservation.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this list down a couple years ago, like at the beginning of the pandemic, and just kind of like kept it on the back burner, been thinking about it, made a few decisions based on it, but not too much. But I'm starting to take that list a little bit more seriously now. Yeah. And so to answer your question from a few minutes ago, some of the practicals that we've been considering is... you know, land, like, is there some land that we can buy that's a lot more removed? I personally have never held a gun in my entire life. And so that's something that I am going to change very soon and just get educated more about that. Because I didn't have much of an opinion on gun things until more recently. And now I definitely have some opinions about it. Yeah, and then starting to learn about gardening, I struggle with this one. It feels really hard for some reason. I'm just like, why can't I keep plants alive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just trying to learn some skills.
Yeah.
And also thinking about our future and like...
and our kids.
And our kids. Like
these are skills that they should just have. Like, these are skills everyone should have been taught and that used to be super common. Like... you know, when you had to farm for your own food, you know, 100 years ago, everyone had their own personal farm. Everyone had some livestock. Everyone was hunting. Like, these are just normal survival skills that now, because we've been in this sort of industrialized, like, community and lifestyle, they're not taught anymore. So, like, you literally, there's times when you plant certain vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. There's certain seasons that they will do flourish and certain seasons they will just die. And so there's just all of these little, like, pieces of knowledge and information that, unless you were in school specifically, like, targeting that information, like, did an agricultural club or something like that, you just don't even, you're like, I don't know where cucumbers come from. In the ground, right?
From the grocery store. That's where they come from. I mean, soon enough we'll be saying our meat comes from a lab.
Like, I know. Oh god. Ugh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so we
won't be able to say that.
We have started reading this book recently called Take Back Your Family.
Yeah.
And even in the first chapter, my mind is being blown with some of the stats and information in it. The gist of it is around the busyness and individualism of American and Western culture and how our families have been kind of destroyed by that. And I would love for you to share about, because you listened to a podcast by the author the other day and what he was saying about, like, the spokes of the family. Do you remember that?
No, remind me.
Where, like, well, and even in the book, the concept where, like, everything, an editor, you can cut this part, we're trying to figure this out, where...
like, how everything comes out of the family, and how it's, like, the
Well, as opposed to, like, it's, like, the family just kind of sends you out, and it's all about, like, the family's about, like, me, myself, and I, and my individualism, and, like, I leave from
a launch pad for my career, my
life, as opposed to, like, family is, like, this multi-generational thing, and team. a family team, and, but there was something so powerful you said yesterday from the podcast, and...
Was it the, like, 28 people in your family that can absorb you if you go through... hardships
that and then also like the spokes of like
how business was run out of a family and then like everyone was a part of that a centralized like hub
so can you share about that
so I was just listening to this podcast with the author
that's fine just we can link it
we'll link it in the show notes and him and this his co-host were talking about how when you know, 100 years ago, if you said family or even in other countries now, you think of like 28 or more of your nearest like people that are intentionally in your life all the time. And I know as an American, I like I hear that and I'm like, I can't even imagine that. Like I can think of, you know, my aunts and uncles and cousins, but I have hardly any relationship with most of them. And it's not that I don't want that. Like, it's just that's how our community, our life was set up. And, like, our Western sort of view of family is it's, like, this place that raises you and sends you out, you know, like, more like a bird in a nest. And you, like, you leave the nest and that's it. Like, you're 18, you're out of here. I'm not responsible for you anymore. Don't go to jail. Right? And, like, you know, other countries and also, like, just a little bit back before, like, the Industrial Revolution, like, that's not what happened. Like, if there was a hardship, you have, like, all these aunts and uncles. You know, a family would probably have, like, 5 to 9 kids. So you would always have people that have your back. Like, you'd have this built-in tribe and community. And, you know, even the poor people. This was really interesting. Is like, you know, right now, the kings have that still, right? You know, the people that are really rich, they have either a money cushion that can handle all, like, problems like that, or they still have like an actual tribe family where they keep all the money in their family, right? Like, that's normal. But then, like, the rest of us end up in this experiment where we've been like cut apart more and more until we're in these little nuclear families, which I found mind-blowing was that that's not a positive term. Like, I just always had thought it was a positive term. I'm just like, oh yeah, this is just, it's a nuclear family, it's what everyone wants, 2 kids, a dog, you know, picket fence, right? And
yeah, it was just sort of like I grew up learning that your nuclear family was just the family that you lived with.
Yeah, sort of like the nucleus.
The nucleus. And like, this is exactly the lesson that I got as a child. And then the extended family was just like aunts, uncles, grandparents, all of that.
Yeah. And it's like extended, like it's away from you. It's not a part of your family, right? But the guy who coined that was actually writing about how this is bad and how like communal families or community families or like a team, a family team, which is what the author of the book talks about, is like a multi-generational team, right? Where you have people from all these different age groups, but also like walks of life and understanding and wisdom all coming together and actually being available to support one another, even if it is a detriment to themselves, right? So it's like, you know, for instance, my mom got sick. Like, I'm putting myself on a line to take care of everything I possibly could, because that's what a family does. But the same thing, but we don't, we aren't like that with aunts, uncles, cousins, like second cousin removed in our culture.
Yeah. And if I could just take like a little side pause there, like in that situation with you and your mom, like it was all on you to take care of her medical paperwork, be the power of attorney, make these really hard decisions. I mean, you had your brother helping you with some of the decisions, but a lot of the logistical stuff fell on you, which then impacted our family and made our family environment with everything we were already going through that much more stressful. And we didn't have, you know, like, it's not like your other family members stepped in and said, hey, let me help. Like, how can I support you in these decisions? It was like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. okay, back to my life.
Right. Or and, like, you know, people reached out. And I think part of it, too, it's, I don't want to say it's all on them. Mm-hmm. Because me, too, like, I didn't know how to ask for help.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't trained that that's okay.
Yeah. Because, right? Like, it's not a thing that we do in our culture to reach out and say, hey, family, I need help. Can you, right, help me?
Because the bottom line is independence.
Especially when you're an adult. Because, right, it's almost, like, shameful when you're an adult and you don't... And you need help as an adult. And, yeah, if you have a family that you're taking care of, oh, what? You can't take care of your family? What's wrong with you?
Right. Or, you know, like, if you have to go back home, mm-hmm, and stay with your family, like it feels like a walk of shame.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, gosh, I got to stay with my family, mm-hmm, again. I've really failed. Instead of, like, what it should feel like is, like, a safe, great, wonderful place to return to,
yeah,
to regroup. And, like, or... if it's all being built really well, you don't even need to leave, mm-hmm, right? Like, not in a unhealthy way, but just, like, there is space, right? Yeah. That I think because in American families, and, you know, this is my experience anyway, is, like, everyone is trying so hard to be so individual, mm-hmm, that their individuality takes up all the space. And there's no room for other people to be individual or communal.
Mm.
And so, like, by having a team mentality, you're... like, if you're being in a team, like, literally your mindset is completely different, is make space for others.
Yeah.
Right? A team is like, okay, I'm getting up on the log. I need to make sure my brother gets up on the log.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not thinking, like, you can't win by yourself.
Yeah. It's not, instead of thinking, how can I get on the log? And hopefully you can make it too.
Right.
Hopefully you've got the skills. Like, let's see if you're, if you've got what it takes.
Hope you don't go down the waterfall, but it's not my,
yeah,
like, it's not on me.
As opposed to, hey, let me clear some space for you. Let me help you up. Let me give you the tools you need to, yeah, do this. And, you know, not in an enabling way.
Right.
Like, and that, I think that is such a tricky, like, for me personally, like, not wanting to fall into enabling or enmeshment and all of that. Like,
yeah,
people need to have dignity and make progress themselves. But I think we can do that in a way that is more team, where we're not trying to rush ahead and, yeah, just be like, see you later, sucker.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard because, like, a lot of us are, you know, what's it called? The axe score thing.
Oh, ACEs.
ACEs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of us have gone through, like, the ACEs score has to do with, like, your traumatic upbringing stuff. And a lot of us have gone through some traumatic stuff, mm-hmm, you know, and, like, I was on the lesser end, and I know, like, but I know people, and I'm friends with people, and I know, like, other people that have gone through just so much, just really hardships, and your desire is to blast off like a, yep, rocket away from that hardship as, yep, fast as you can.
I mean, that was, yeah, that was me as a child,
yeah,
and, like, as a teenager, all I could do is dream about, like, getting my own car, get away, yeah, go to California, like, like, I just want to be as far away as I can,
yeah,
from all of this pain.
So definitely what we're not saying is stay in really unhealthy,
no,
situations.
No, get out.
But there is a, you know, and I think Allie and I have been hunting this, right?
Yes.
Like, this has been in our heart since we met,
yeah,
since we started dating. Like, we've had this vision for communal family.
Yeah.
We just didn't have a name for it or, like, a target, like, exactly how to start implementing it.
And because we didn't have this growing up, we had no template whatsoever to go off of.
Right.
No grid of, like, oh, yeah, this is what I had in my family growing up. Great. Let's, like, implement this and work towards this. Like, some people are so ridiculously blessed. And admittedly, I get jealous in my heart when I see some people where,
yeah,
I'm just like, oh, like, you have family. You have, like, you have no idea how lucky you are to have had family that, like, to fall back on, to support,
yeah,
you, to love on you, to believe in you.
Right.
And,
well,
I
when
mean,
you don't have that, you're, yeah, walking around with an extra heavy burden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we've both been carrying this burden. And that was the other thing, is, like, raising kids,
mm-hmm,
within that kind of group is everyone's raising those kids. It's,
yeah,
not just the parents. And this really blew my mind because, like, we have been taking on, you know, this complete responsibility to create complete whole children, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's a huge goal in our hearts. But, like, and we're like, why can't we do this, right? Why can't we do this and still be, like, you know, stressed free and, like, clear minded and rested?
I know. We're,
and
we're trying to be, like, rested, emotionally sane adults. We're trying to have a thriving marriage. We're trying to have thriving businesses and income streams. We're trying to keep our house clean, which doesn't happen much.
Community.
We're trying to have, like, good community in our lives. We're trying to raise, like, really healthy whole children, and one of our children that has some mild level of special needs. And so it's like,
Why can't we do it all?
Why not?
Oh, yeah, because we're not built to do it all. Because literally, like, family is supposed to be that, you know, what we would call extended family.
Yeah.
You know, it's a communal family. It's a team of multi-generations. And, yeah, and I mean, I long for that. And I'm excited to read more about the book. And I'm hoping for a lot of, like, implementation stuff. Yeah. And so.
So we can keep you guys posted on
how that's going. I'm sure we'll swing back in once we've learned more, for sure.
Yeah. So we were talking about the Industrial Revolution, about the nuclear families, about all of that. And then we were...
Oh, because the factories took business out of the home.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were before we were talking about the turmoil of the world and...
Right, how to handle it.
Well, and like, and the handling of it and the prepping. So I'm thinking, like, and this is more of a side note rather than leaving it in the episode, but how do we circle all the way back around?
Okay.
How do we connect the dots?
Well, because if you take businesses back into the home, then you take the control away from the companies. Right? And so...
Oh, is that where you're going with this?
Yeah.
Okay. But then what about, because you're talking about like the self-sufficiency and like...
Well, that is the self-sufficiency,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So, editor.
Obviously, yeah.
Do some magic here.
Do your magic.
Okay, so let me land that plane.
Yeah, so what... So let's land this plane, because let's see. So, editor, keep this part in. So, all right, let's land this plane, because we've actually covered a lot of territory, and this is kind of why we called Uncooked Conversations Uncooked Conversations, because we have an intention of a topic to go in with, but...
We're not giving you a lecture. We're just
we're just talking.
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff, about kind of letting you into, like, personal conversations that we've had. So, we started off talking a bit about our 2021 year and, you know, where we were, what happened with Paul and Allie. And then we've moved into a little bit of where we are now and some of the bigger, heavier thoughts that we're thinking as it pertains, like, both to our life, but also in response to the world. And then we've talked a bit about self-sufficiency and, you know, why we're thinking along those lines.
Yeah, nuclear versus communal family.
Yeah, and then we moved into, like, the family side of things. And so how do we bring this all together?
Yeah. So, like, having to do with the family, a big change that happened during the Industrial Revolution was the creation of factories. And so it took business out of the home and out of the family. Because before that, the family used to be kind of the hub. And I think that's what you were trying to...
Yeah, I had asked you to speak on that. Yeah,
it was the hub of financial system, right? So, like, families would create a business and then the families would... all support that business, and
they'd
work together as a team, right? Like, family businesses, you didn't have to call them family businesses back then because that's all there were. Like, if it was a business, there was a family doing it, you know? And so it was very odd man out to be like, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm just hiring some randoms to do this thing.
Yeah.
Whereas that's basically most of what there is now. So definitely by, like, one of sort of our kind of like prepper, or however you want to describe it, like a way of safeguarding the future for us and our kids, is to be able to bring more business things within that family context and building our community family around us that can all support that same thing, but then also be supported by it. So,
yeah. And I think also thinking very long term, which I'm very good at, is thinking about how do we train our kids in this way as well? How do we train them to be more self-sufficient as kids? Well, obviously more as they get to be like teenagers and adults, but how do we...
Give them the skills they need.
Yeah, give them the skills they need, raise them in the values of freedom and team and doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, the how is what we're on the journey with, right?
Yeah, like, just trying to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think there is hope. And, you know, we found this book and that's hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, and like the ability to get information in today's day and age is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of thought leaders that are thinking these thoughts that we're not the only ones.
No, you know,
and so there's a lot of places
I even, like, learned about these things.
Right. There's a lot of places we can go and we can find information, and you all can too. And you can shoot it to us too and be like, hey, did you see this? And we'll be like, yep or nope. And that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's hope. There's hope. We're not, like, this is not the end.
Yeah. It is. It's, I think there's a healthy amount of fear.
Yeah.
That should be more of, like, a sobering fear to help us move us in the direction of evaluating our priorities and evaluating, like, what are we doing? Kind of like we were saying right at the beginning of this podcast, like, you know, going through these losses, going through this change. And I remember, like, when I lost my dad almost 3 years ago, like, I went through very similar things of, like, crash, burn, what is my life? Who am I?
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a very normal thing to go through when you're experiencing, like, pressure and change and pain and loss.
Yeah.
But
I think we're all feeling that on a corporate level now, having to do with the country and the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, these freedoms we're losing, we're grieving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also we don't want to lose these freedoms. Right. And
we have to step up in the right ways.
Right. Yeah. So to prevent the loss of these things. But I think, you know, the challenges, it's kind of like how some people call it, like, the dark night of the soul or something. But there is, like, this crushing and questioning and deep processing. But at least what I can say, 3 years after having lost my dad and all the challenges emotionally that I went through, but the fruit that's coming from that is so beautiful. Mm. It's so beautiful. And I feel like corporately, what's happening in our country and in the world, if people can stay the course and not numb out of the challenges and the pain, but continue to just allow the process of challenge and refinement and, you know, and having obstacles to face, if you can face those instead of running away, it will build something really, it will build something really beautiful in you that, you know, years from now, you'll look back and be like, that sucked, but man, that built who I am today. And I really am proud of who I am today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. What you're saying also reminded me of what you had sent to me.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So there's this quote that I saw on the gram earlier today that says, "This is a moment in history when each of your actions takes you closer to freedom or to slavery. Here's how you know the difference. Going closer to slavery feels numbing and heavy. Going closer to freedom feels exhilarating. Going closer to freedom feels exhilarating and terrifying."
Yeah. So I just, when you were saying that, it reminded me of this.
No, it's a great quote to end on.
Yeah. So let's all go towards freedom together, even though it's scary.
Yeah. Find those things that are exciting and terrifying and definitely move away from the fear-based thinking and choices. Things are scary right now, but we don't have to live in the fear. I think acknowledging the scary things without succumbing to the fear. And that's a daily choice and a daily practice. And and I think that's where the community and the support is so important. And to get around other like-minded people, to get around, just positive influences. But not just like the good vibes only people, like, that kind of really irritates me. But I'm talking about the people who can...
Good information only.
Huh?
Good information only.
Oh, we can do a whole uncooked conversation about good vibes only. But I think what I mean is, like, you know, the people who will mourn with you when you're mourning, the people who will rejoice with you when you're rejoicing, the people who will uplift and encourage you and have your back.
Yeah.
Have your back when you need it.
Yeah. So let's create that with the uncooked community.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Uncooked community.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of funny.
It does sound funny.
When
you graduate, you become a cooked. Have you been cooked yet? I'm still uncooked.
That's like, could go into drug reference there.
Oh, is it?
Anyway. All right. Well, I think that's a great stopping point.
Yeah.
Great first episode back.
Yeah. Welcome to season 2.
Of Uncooked Conversations.
Uncooked Conversations. Awesome.
All right. Well, anything else you want to wrap up with?
I think stay safe.
No. Stay free.
Stay free. We can stay safe and free.
Stay free. Stay bold. Be wise.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. cut me saying things out and just leave Allie's.
Hang on, I'm just checking the notes to make sure we
say thanks for listening. Oh, you can follow us on...
Well, thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope that this episode brought some value and illumination to your life. If you'd like, you can follow us on Instagram at Uncooked Convos, C-O-N-V-O-S, on Instagram. We're not on there too much, but we do pop in here and there. So if you want to send us a DM or tag us in something, feel free to do that. You can also email us, which is down in the show. You can also email us. It's down in the show notes. And finally, if you have questions that you would like us to answer on air, we would love to do a question and answer episode in the future. So you can, again, send us a DM on Instagram or email us with our email in the show notes and send us whatever your questions are or topics that you would look forward to hearing us talk about. So that's a wrap for today.
That's a wrap for us. Your favorite. That's a wrap for us. Your favorite candid couple.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Well, until next time,
we're on the journey with you.
Awesome. Okay. Right, now so we just need episode. To figure out. Yeah. So I'll try one and then you try one.
Okay.
On this episode of Uncooked Conversations, we're going to dive into what the heck happened to Paul, Allie, and the world.
Nice. On this episode of Uncooked Conversations, we're going to get into it. What happened to Paul and Allie? What happened to the world? And a whole bunch more.
It's good. Can you do that one more time?
On this episode of Uncooked Conversations, we're going to get into what the heck happened to Paul, Allie, and the world, and a whole lot more.
Do you want to do the funny commercial about this episode is brought to you by Tyranny?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know if we'll keep it in, but...
This episode is brought to you by Tyranny. That thing you get when you get no more freedom. This episode is brought to you by Tyranny. It's not just a coffee brand. It takes away your freedom. This episode is brought to you by Tyranny. Blech. This episode is brought to you by Tyranny. I don't know. I have one brewing.
Yeah.
It just hasn't quite
That's
made
okay.
it.
That's
okay. Hold on.
Okay. I gotta pee really bad.
This episode is brought to you by Bladders. Smaller than ever.
All right. That's a wrap.
No, it's not.
No, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Tyranny. That thing you get when you sell off your freedoms. Okay. Thanks, editor.
All right.